from CBS Monday.
NCIS,
here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island that got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii, Monday, starting at 9, 8 central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the plague.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount+.
I'm Tim Fitzgerald of GoPowerCat.com.
And I'm Michael Swain of Fog.net.
This is a replay of WIBW show The Drive.
Here's this week's episode on the 24/7 Sports Podcast Network.
Good evening, Wildcat and Jayhawk fans, and welcome to The Drive, sponsored by Briggs Auto Group. I am Tim Fitzgerald at GoPowerCat.com, and the man across the studio from me is Michael Swain of Fog.net. Hey, Michael, you doing okay over there?
I'm doing great, Fitz. I'm loving the weather.
Is the weather good over there outside the studio?
It is. Is it cold over there?
Nope, I dressed for spring. I'm wearing pants, though.
Oh, I'm not.
I know. You can interact with us on social media at facebook.com/thedriveshow, on Twitter at thedrive13, and of course answer our weekly poll question and make your game predictions on our Twitter page. And remember, if you ever miss an episode of The Drive, you can listen to an audio-only version that will appear each Monday morning in the form of a podcast at GoPowerCat and Fog.net. And we start things off with our two-minute drill. The first segment of the two-minute drill is sponsored by Vanderbilt's Your Work Boot Center. Well, Kevin McCullough returned to the floor on Saturday in Waco, but it wasn't enough as KU dropped another road game to Baylor. Michael, is there anything new that can be said about KU's road woes?
Not a lot, Fitz. I think it's kind of the same issues for KU that have surfaced in some of these road defeats. I think defensively, KU left a lot to be desired in the second half of this game, which was close. You look at the momentum of this game early in the second half, it was back and forth. And then there was a stretch, Fitz, where, you know, Baylor had basically 10 possessions and KU got one stop. And that turned the tide of the game, because KU offensively is a team that just labors, and they go through these stretches where they can't get easy baskets, they don't shoot threes, so there's no spacing on the floor, and just everything got away from KU in this game. So it's just another one of these contests where you look at KU's loss at Iowa State, KU's loss at West Virginia, the loss at UCF. Like, these games all have the common theme. KU struggles defensively, offensively, not necessarily having the firepower down the stretch of the game to win it. And so, look, KU now has cemented their worst conference season under Bill Self. KU is going to have an atrocious road record this year. So far, just two road wins that both came in Oklahoma. KU goes on the road to play Houston to end Big 12 play. So I think for KU, if you want to spin this into a positive, look, Kevin McCullough is back. He is back from the bone bruise. He's still dealing with it, but he is playing. And he looked better than he did, I think, when he played most recently against Oklahoma. That's positive for KU, because now Kevin McCullough gets time over the next couple games to get his momentum back, get his rhythm back. And if Kansas is going to make a run in the NCAA tournament, they need Kevin McCullough to be what Kevin McCullough was for 75% of this season. And then you look at the bench, and Elmarco Jackson had one of his better games of this season. You know, he made two threes, scored 8 points, did some positive things for KU. I'm not counting on him being a huge contributor down the stretch of this season, because I think at this point we've seen what he is for this year. But I think that type of flash is pretty positive for him, you know, if he decides to stick around after this year, which I hope he does. So for KU, look, it's another road loss. They're out of the Big 12 title race, but I think Kevin McCullough being back can be a positive when you spur this forward.
Yeah, at this point, it is what it is, and you just got to move on to the postseason, whether that's Kansas City or the NCAA tournament, and be good then. Mm. That's all you can do.
Yeah. Let's transition to K-State here, where the Wildcats went to Cincinnati on Saturday in need of a win to boost their own NCAA tournament hopes, but lost 74-72. So, Fitz, what's K-State's tournament outlook?
Well, they put themselves in a real jam here. I mean, essentially, if you want to get to the 9-9 that Jerome Tang has told us is what will get them in, you got to win at Kansas Tuesday, and then finish it out with a win against Iowa State at home. I don't know that they'll win either one of those, so we're probably short of making a run in Kansas City, looking at an NIT team here. And you know what? That's probably where this team belongs. It just hasn't been consistent enough with its performance to warrant going to the NCAA tournament. Maybe they'll have that sudden burst here in the final days of the season, but I just can't imagine it. Again, like you just said, at this point in the season, you kind of are what you are, and this team is a turnover-prone mess at times. They had 19 turnovers at Cincinnati. In my post-game wrap-up at GoPowerCat.com, my video, my post-game talk, I said that about 7 times because I think the final score on points off of turnovers was 29-6. They got outscored by 23 points off turnovers, and yet we're in this game with a chance to win it. But they had a couple turnovers on their last possessions after Tyler Perry rallied them with an absolutely remarkable performance, but I'll get to that a little bit later. This team just lacks some basic things. First of all, it doesn't have a true veteran point guard. It has Day-Day Ames, a freshman, but he's still a little bit turnover prone himself and makes some bad mistakes, so they stick with Tyler Perry, which puts a lot of weight on his shoulders. But Cam Carter, who's a veteran guard, turned it over 6 times. Well, at least you got Arthur Kaluma. Oh yeah, he turned it over 6 times. So 2 of your 3 best players had 12 of your 19 turnovers, and yet you almost won this game. Now look, K-State was down big in the second half. I mean, they were down by 13, and then next thing you know, they go on a run that puts them up when Tyler Perry hit an absolute circus three-pointer to give them the lead, but then they gave up a shot. That was a three-pointer, and they lost. Michael, this team just isn't polished enough, isn't finished enough, doesn't handle it well, doesn't pass it well, and then they just have that occasional defensive breakdown that proves to be too much, and that's how they lost.
Yeah, Fitz, I think there are some pretty common themes here between KU and K-State, right? Both rosters, I think, have some holes. For KU, it's a lack of shooting. For K-State, it's lack of a ball-dominant point guard who can set up some of those other guards who are good off-ball scorers.
They really are. Well, Houston and Iowa State both escaped poor performances on Saturday and got wins. What has made them the cream of the crop this season?
Well, I think just the consistency and the ability to take those games when you're not playing your best and turning them into wins. This is something Bill Self has talked about for years, where there's kind of 3 categories of games that you go through in a conference season. They're the games where you play your best and you blow the team out, right? You think about KU beating Houston that way. Well, then there are the games where it's kind of close, a little nip and tuck, but you're able to pull out because you are just a flat out better team. And then there's kind of that third category where it's you play terrible, you really make some mistakes, it's a game maybe you're thinking you shouldn't win, but you're able to pull it out because you kind of have that championship DNA. Yeah. And I think that's exactly what Houston and Iowa State have shown. And it's why they're at the top of the conference, right? Kansas has not done that. Baylor has not done that. Texas Tech has not done that. And so I think it's really impressive that these two teams have been able to do it. And you look at them both doing it on the road where, you know, Iowa State goes on to play UCF, which I think did a really good job of limiting Iowa State offensively. And then they're able to turn it up down the stretch, make some shots, win the game. You know, Oklahoma battled back in that game, and I thought they showed some great grit. But again, Houston has that kind of championship medal ability to kind of stop whatever momentum the other team has and then create your own. So I think that is really a big reason why these two teams are the best in the conference, and it's not really even that close.
And I got to say that of the 3 best teams in this conference, and I'm putting KU in that despite the record, those are the 3 toughest teams to beat on their home floor this year. But somehow, some way, I'd say Houston has been the toughest team at home this year. They have absolutely annihilated opponents. Iowa State, as we see here, did hang around a little bit in Houston earlier this season, but they're just too good at home. Luckily for the rest of the college basketball world, you don't have to play on Houston's home court in the postseason because they have been absolutely deadly. They brought a lot to this conference. I can't wait for Arizona next year. This is a lot of fun. It just, you beat the snot out of each other, but this is a lot of fun to watch. It's a lot of fun to cover. And also, how about Iowa State? Wow, what a season they've had as they've really put it together. We'll see if they can do some damage in the postseason. Now, a quick look at your poll question results. The poll questions are brought to you by Midland Exteriors. Love the home you live in? Call today for a free estimate.
All right, last week's question was, who should win Big 12 Player of the Year? Fitz, it was an Avalanche. Yeah. Jamal Shedd from Houston got 80% of the votes. Kashawn Gilbert from Iowa State got 3%. Hunter Dickinson from KU, 14%. And then Jacoby Walter from Baylor, 3% of the votes.
Okay, here's this week's question. Should the Big 12 tournament remain in Kansas City despite the Big 12 pushing things towards Las Vegas? Your answers are pretty simple. A, yes. B, no. C, give it 5 years and move it. I think that's what the Pac-12 schools want. Vote on our Twitter page at TheDrive13.
All right, that will do it for this half of the 2-minute drill, but we will be right back with more on KU and K-State here on The Drive.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to The Drive, fueled by BriggsAuto.com.
We are back and we continue our weekly 2-minute drill. The segment of the 2-minute drill is sponsored by Copeland Insurance Agency, part of your community for more than 60 years. Lance Leipold agreed to an amended contract with KU last week. He and AD Travis Goff met with reporters on Thursday to discuss it all. Michael, what stood out from the press conference?
Yeah, I think there's a lot. Look, they talked for about an hour all combined. And I think big picture, right, I think KU's continued commitment towards football is a really big part of this. You look at the new contract terms for Lance Leipold, an average annual value of about $7 million, which will put him near the top of the Big 12 conference. It pays him what I think he is value for KU, which is one of the best coaches in the conference. But as Travis Goff put it, one of the top 20 programs in the country. That's the type of money we're talking here, Fitz, where KU's putting this much resources into football. You're looking at the total salary pool for Lance Leipold now being $9 million. That includes kind of everyone combined, both on and off field coaches. So it's giving Leipold some serious muscle to work with in coaching hires. And I think you've seen that this offseason, hiring Jeff Grimes, who, you know, at one point was one of the hottest names in coaching, hiring DK McDonald from the NFL. Like, KU is putting a ton of work and resources into its football program, which is a huge difference than we've seen in the past. And look, we know about the football renovations going on at David Booth Cannes Memorial Stadium, but these other aspects of just supporting the football program are so huge. And so I think that was a really interesting point Goff made, where you compare these numbers and it really is that of a top 20 football program. And I think it was interesting too, you know, where Lance Leipold talked about, you know, Colin Sexton, who works in the athletic department at Kansas, coming to his representatives back at the end of 2023 and talking about wanting to get ahead on a new contract and a new raise. And Leipold said he didn't expect it because, you know, you win games. He thought that he was perfectly fine with his old contract. But it sounds like this contract was basically agreed to all the way back in December. And of course, there's Washington opening. Leipold said, don't believe everything you read. I'd say there's probably a little bit more to the story there. But for KU overall, this is such a huge kind of turning point where KU now has the resources it's putting into football. It's got the new stadium coming, and now it can be, as Lance Leipold said, an and school where it's basketball and football. Football and basketball, much different than being the or school that Kansas was for a long time.
It's hard to maintain that, but KU seems to be in good shape with that. The next thing he needs to do is, when his name pops up, because it's going to keep popping up as Chris Klieman's will, not. I mean, because it's going to get exhausting for fans to keep worrying about whether this coach will leave, because I think we can agree both schools have coaches they want to stay for a very long time.
Totally. Well, let's get back to the hardwood. Let's talk about Tyler Perry, who arrived at K-State known for his shooting, but didn't find a groove until recently. So, Fitz, how good has Perry been as of late?
Well, K-State's 1 of 2 of 3. They lost by 2 points the other night. He had 26 points in that loss and was 6 of 8 from three-point range. And that just kind of epitomizes what he's been doing. This guy who couldn't shoot the ball except in late game or overtime situations, all of a sudden is just shooting the lights out. Over the last three games, he is 16 of 26 from three-point range. That's 61.5%. That's phenomenal. You can almost argue he's not shooting it enough from deep, which is something, honestly, I didn't think I'd say this season. But he's been really good. He really, absolutely wants to make the NCAA tournament. And he can't do it alone. But at many times in Cincinnati, it looked like Tyler was kind of the lone gunman trying to get the bank robbed. And it just didn't work. I feel badly for the kid because he's gone through a lot this season. Criticism, including from me, for the way he was playing earlier in the season. But keep this in mind. This is a kid, despite being 5'11 or whatever, that's always been a shooting guard. He went to junior college, was a shooting guard. He went to North Texas, was a shooting guard. And because of a couple recruiting failures by K-State, he came and had to kind of move himself over to the point guard. He doesn't have those point guard instincts. He does the best he can. He actually handles it okay, by far the best on the team, but I think Michael and I might be second best behind him. I just don't understand now why all of a sudden he's going like this, because nothing's really changed with this team. It's not really like they're doing much different that have freed him up. Yeah, occasionally Day-Day Ames is out there as a point guard to feed the ball to him and set him up, and maybe those few opportunities that they took advantage while in those two home games with Day-Day actually passing the ball so that he could catch and shoot, maybe they got him back in the groove. But I'll say this, I'm not going to write off the Cats in any game, because this kid can warm up as well as anyone in the country. He took the lead for the K-State on a shot that traveled about 21 feet, a straight line to the rim, because that's how far the three-pointer was. The ball probably traveled a good 40 feet up and down, because it was just a moon shot that dropped right through the net. He's playing incredible basketball, and congratulations, shaking it off, Tyler Perry, and getting it going.
Yeah, at a crucial time, too. Look, there's still the NIT tournament if K-State ends up making it there, and there's a great chance to go and win a trophy. Not the big one you want, but if he continues to play like this, like K-State can go on a run if they can figure out some of those turnover issues.
He won that tournament last year at North Texas. We'll see if they end up back there so he can get another shot. Now we step out of bounds, and Out of Bounds is brought to you by Darris Corner Market. We love local, and we are local for you.
All right, Fitz, both KU and K-State's women's basketball teams are heading to Kansas City with some momentum. So what do you think the Lady Wildcats need to do in the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City? What are you looking for, Fitz?
Well, this team did lose a couple games. Now, you can look back now at the KU game and understand KU's playing really good basketball. And then they turned around and lost another one. But they absolutely took care of business against Texas Tech. They need to just settle in. Because of the double bye system, they get some nice rest coming into the tournament, and they really need that. Most teams do. But they will be the third seed. What's at stake right now for the K-State women is very interesting. All season long, they've obviously been one of the top seeds for the NCAA tournament. The top four seeds in every region get to host in the first and second round. That's never been a question for Kansas State. But now it's a question. They're hovering around 15 or 16 in the rankings. Does that translate to what the committee will do? Well, I think if K-State wants to make a really good run in this tournament, they probably need to be a 3 seed to stay off that one line until later and host at home and clean up some teams and move on. But they're going to have to win in Kansas City a few games to get that done.
Yeah, I think KU needs to keep their momentum going. Look, this is a team that's playing really good basketball right now. You look at KU beating K-State last weekend. They go on the road. They beat UCF. Then they get a win over the Big 12 champions, Oklahoma. They just got to keep playing the type of basketball that has led to this success. Look, I think, you know, Samaya Nichols has been incredible, and I think she's going to have to be the driving force for KU if they're going to make a postseason run.
Okay. Now let's hear from the fans. Our fan question is sponsored by MedLark. Retirement awaits in Manhattan, where you can live your way every day. Our fan question this week is...
Fitz, is there or isn't there a spring football game for Kansas State? And this comes from Christian in Manhattan.
No, there is not. Okay, so the football staff in a recruiting graphic, letting recruits know they had a couple junior days, listed the last day of spring practice as the spring game. But there isn't a spring game. It'll be just a scrimmage like most scrimmages are behind closed doors. The recruits can come. But us lowly people in the public aren't invited to the party. No spring game at K-State.
That's a bummer. Missed opportunity. Well, remember to ask us your questions on our Facebook page and on Twitter at The Drive 13. When we return, we will look at our predictions here on The Drive.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Drive, fueled by BriggsAuto.com.
And it is time to head down the home stretch of this week's show. And now let's take a look at our predictions. Our predictions are brought to you by Kites, meeting your friends at Kites since 1954. Remember to make your weekly predictions on our Twitter page at TheDrive13. Here are last week's results. Michael, look at that.
Let's go. We're back.
That just closed the gap enormously. Fans went 1-2. I went 1-2. Michael went 2-1. Here are this week's picks. And, of course, we start with this game. It's on Tuesday night. Michael, you need to get the picks up.
I will do that.
Okay. Kansas State at KU. KU is -8.5. Will KU win by 9 or more?
I think so. What do you think?
I think KU is going to be ahead this whole game, but K-State will pull that old routine they just did. Oh, we're going to cut it to 7 by the end of the game, even though we are down double digits. I can see that happening. I'll take K-State because of the spread.
The old backdoor cover. All right, next up is Kansas at Houston. Houston is a 10.5-point favorite in this one. I'm going to take Houston. They're so good at home. I don't care if they have the Big 12 title wrapped up. I don't know if I see it happening for KU.
No, I think they're going to want to make a statement going into the NCAA tournament or into the postseason. Our last game of the week is K-State versus Iowa State to wrap up the season in Manhattan. Iowa State's a 3.5-point favorite. I'm going to take K-State again because I got a little wiggle room with that spread. If K-State can lose by 3 or fewer, I still win.
Yeah, I think, the way TJ coaches, those guys are going to be turned up. I'll take Iowa State to cover that 3.5 number.
I love it when you're turned up. It's amazing. Ooh, yeah. Again, make your picks on our Twitter page at TheDrive13. And now it's time for our On the Clock segment. On the Clock is sponsored by Carpet One. Buy local for a strong local community. And we start with Michael Swain of Fog.net.
Let's talk about perspective, Fitz. This is one of Kansas basketball's worst seasons under Bill Self. Big 12 play has been a big struggle. And yet you look at it, and Kansas will, at worst, be a 4 seed. They have a chance at going far in the NCAA tournament because of the type of roster they have that is not built for a conference season, but it is built for these one-and-done games where you have to be turned up to the highest level. You look at other programs, blue bloods across the country, like Kentucky has missed the NCAA tournament. Michigan State is not what it once was. You see these programs that for years we're at the top of college basketball like Kansas has been. And it just puts in perspective how ridiculously consistent KU's been under Bill Self. And obviously these seasons are not fun for KU fans compared to what they've become used to. But you just got to put it in perspective sometimes. It is a rough year for KU, but it has been an incredible stretch for Bill Self. And look, they'll probably look next year be a one seed because that's what the numbers tell you. That's what Kansas has done under Self.
I'm going to call an audible, Michael, and change my topic to follow up on that. I've been getting to wonder if the NIL, but more so the transfer portal, hasn't shaken up college basketball in a way we never expected. We didn't expect teams like Kansas and Duke and Michigan State and even Gonzaga to start struggling, but they're all a little bit down. Why is that? Well, I think there's more talent spread across the country. I think now it's kind of a shot in the dark whether or not you're going to be good. K-State was great last year in big part because of transfer portal players, and this year it didn't work out. There's other schools around the country who've gone from very good to not so good. The portal has made college basketball completely different. And that's it for this week's edition of The Drive. We will see you next week right here and all week on social media. The Big 12 tournament is coming up fast.
Hello, everyone. It's Michael Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.